Welcome back to another episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast, where we talk about the best show on streaming, Warrior, Season 3, Episode 10. It's the season finale, folks. Buckle up. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking Warrior Season 3 finale episode, and what a finale it was. Cheers to my fellow nerds.
Oh, cheers.
Jude and Matt Vader are here as
another
always.
Another successful season.
Another successful season. And Matt Cage is over here producing the show. What's up, dude?
So, in my list of best season finales I've ever seen of any TV show, this ranks right up there.
Wow. Do you think that this was so good because they were like, are we going to get a season 4? Let's just fuck it up.
They were just like, we can fuck some. Yeah.
I mean, legitimately, this episode was the climax of this entire season. Like, everything that they had set up earlier in the season paid off in this episode.
They paid off some shit from season 2 in this.
And season 1.
Yeah.
There's stuff from season 3 that they paid off that I forgot about.
Uh-huh.
and I can remember watching this episode, and by the end of it, I was just, like, blown away. I was like, holy crap.
And you watched this ahead of all of us. Yeah. So you've been holding on to this for, like, 2 weeks.
I did rewatch it, yes. Okay.
All right. I was going to say, I only watched it once, but I'm like, I wonder if Kadesh rewatched it since last week.
So I rewatched it right before we started recording.
Okay.
But there's a scene in particular that we'll get to in this episode that has been building up since the first episode of the series. And boy, did it pay off. Mm-hmm. Like, wow. It was one of the coolest things I think I've ever seen on this show.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's get into it.
All right. Season 3, Episode 10, A Window of Fucking Opportunity. Strickland really needs to bump up home security. Everybody be coming to kill him tonight, and they're all bringing hell with them. Same shit, new chief. Bill's cleaning up the mess Leary's fists left behind in the Banshee. And just when Bill thinks he's out, and walking on sunshine, Leary brings him back into the dark side, coercing him into disposing of Strickland's body in the fires of Cement Mountain. Mr. and almost Mrs. Mayor, who's still not a ginger, by the way, take a walk about town where he pops the question, but it turns out she's a no-good, brown-haired, dirty liar who's plotting something, and that's what you get when you don't fuck with redheads! The Dick Squad tells Bill about their plan to regain the counterfeit plates, and Bill has to inform the mayor. Buckley, pissed off about finding out about Myling's side hustle from the police, tells her he's shutting down her operation just as Assam leads the Dick Squad to the ice factory to get the plates. There's a shit ton of Long Z and Hopway in the hall. The Dick Squad just walked in, and happy fucking Isaac just showed up to fuck this up even more. Assam delivers the plates, but Isaac's man has itchy fingers and a shootout ensues. Just as Assam concludes his deal with Lee, a bull knocks him down with a hammer, but Hong jumps the cop, saving Assam. Yon Mi gets released from jail, and Lee gets released from living a life of dick. After the raid, Bill's in need of a few good men, and Lee just so happens to be several good men. Leary becomes the new Strickland, shaking hands and making deals with an iron fist. Chow's been waiting for Assam to show up, but he's still passed the fuck out. He finally wakes up just as Young Jun is readying his attack on Mai Ling. Young Jun tries to force Assam to stand aside, but Assam chooses the Ho over his bros, and he has to fight his way out of the Tong. And Young Jun's not going to have enough men to go after Mai Ling when he's done. When Assam doesn't make it to the train, Chow redeems his double cross by meeting Yan Mi and giving her the money Assam asked him to hold, and then runs into an old friend's knife a bunch of times. Young Jun's men show up to sever their relationship with the Long Z, and Mai Ling brought a gun to a knife fight. Assam stumbles across town with a punctured lung, trying to make it to his sister in time, and it looks like Lee Young's starting up his own tong. Also, Mai Ling has some unfinished business with that blonde bitch. Discuss.
Yeah.
So this episode opens with the closure of that
the blonde duck
that kind of double-crossed
totally forgot about this chick.
Really? I kept saying she is not gonna let this stand.
Oh yeah. This was okay, so I remember when this happened and we were like, oh, she's going down for mm-hmm. sure, and then like things happened throughout the season and it was like such a B plot that I was like, okay, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, forgotten.
We're moving on.
You just kind of forget about it.
We
right?
got bigger fish to fry, right?
Yeah. I forgot about her.
I forgot about her.
Tom
completely.
War.
And then she, in the opening of the season, I'm like, who's that? Is that Penny? I'm like, no, that's not Penny. Who is that?
That's what I thought at first, too. I was like, did they bring Penny back?
No, no.
They don't bring Penny or Sophie back.
I was like, oh.
Yeah. And then, yeah, when I realized it was her, I was like, oh, shit. I thought for sure that chick was going to die. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, she's going to die. They're going to kill her. They're going to slit her throat. They're going to throw her in the fire. They're going to go tie her husband up. And
I watched this whole episode with my hands over my face.
Right? Yeah. What she does is she's like, oh, you're miserable right now, aren't you? Mm-hmm. You're miserable.
Have
and you're going to live in your misery.
Well, yeah. My wing's been where that woman was before. So like she knows exactly what she's going through. And instead of getting revenge, she basically gives that woman a way to kind of like
be the next crime lord of San Francisco.
Well, no, she's gonna murder her husband and then go to jail. Yeah. So either way, my Ling wins.
Yeah. You're fucked if you do, you're fucked if you don't.
Yeah, either I'm gonna kill you.
You can look forward to a life of syphilis.
Syphilis.
How did that come up? We're making jokes about syphilis. I don't know what's going on.
Instead of going sibilance to check his mic, he was saying syphilis.
Testing.
No context jokes. Yeah, that was a wild opening. I did not see that coming. I completely forgot about this chick. Mm-hmm. And then what she actually did versus what I thought she was going to do, totally different things. So mm-hmm. I was very surprised, very thrown off skew on this opening scene. So great job.
This show knows exactly how to subvert your expectations.
Yeah, for sure. And
in a good way.
Yeah. Like normally I'd be like, oh, she should have killed him. Like, that's normally her character. But I'm like, no, you know what?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's
darker. It's darker. Yeah. So I liked it. The next, can we talk about Strickland? Can we just get his chunk out of the way?
Yes.
Because I'm not going to be able to concentrate unless I talk about what happens to Strickland.
Yeah.
So the lesbians get angry.
Right? Yeah.
And then they go.
So we got Lady Davenport.
Yeah.
Lady Davenport with a lever action and a toy with her sword. Mm-hmm. And they're like, let's just go take care of business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they go there together. And I like that you
Lesbian justice.
Let's go.
I like that you mentioned this in your synopsis. Like, why is Strickland not upping his frickin' security?
Right. I know, right?
He thinks he's untouchable.
He's just in his house, like, sipping on champagne.
I've got
like,
my sword hanging over the fireplace.
By the way, I'm the best at swords.
So I need to point this out. So the actor who plays Strickland, Adam Rayner, the entire season I've been, like, racking my brain because I'm like, this guy looks so familiar. I know him from something. So he was the lead actor in this FX show called Tyrant. And and so, like, when I was watching this episode, it suddenly dawned on me. I was like, that's where I know him from.
Oh,
so like,
okay.
It's been bothering me all season.
You could have just looked it up on IMDb.
I could have, but, like.
Well, what's the fun in that?
Yeah. Is this?
Let's guess and look dumb.
Technology?
But what's great about this scene is, so, like, originally Davenport shows up and Strickland's like, oh, this woman's going to try to shoot me.
Yeah.
Like he's just. Like, he doesn't even take her seriously.
Yeah.
And then he sees Atoy, and he sees her with the sword, and he's like, oh, this is interesting. And then the minute that they engage, the look on his face when Atoy just starts dissecting him, he's so surprised. Okay. He's like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, he thought he was going to have a fun-ass night.
Right. I don't know if I'm thrilled about this or kind of upset, because I wanted, like, a knockdown, drag-out fight between him and Atoy, right?
When she ends it, I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah. So I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be dope. And then Atoy just dismantles this dude, and I'm like, oh, that's how this is gonna go.
And I think it's hilarious though that everybody was coming tonight.
Oh, even Leary's
in the back. He was dead one way or another.
Well, somebody's gonna get stricken.
So right before this scene, there's a great scene with Bill and his police squad in Leary's bar.
Yeah.
And they see the guy that Leary, like, curb stomped. He's, like, literally got no face. And one of the guys, like, I think that's this guy used to be on the force. And Bill's like, holy shit, you're right. but it's so funny because basically, like, Bill kind of puts together that someone put out a hit on Leary. And he's like, I got to find Leary. Mm-hmm. And somehow he knows to go to Davenport's place and teleports there, even though Leary had who knows how long of a head start.
You mean Strickland's place.
Strickland's place. So, like, Bill fast travels to Strickland's place because somehow he knows he's going there.
Yeah.
Well, Leary's probably walking, and Bill probably took a carriage.
Carriage?
He's the chief.
Why don't they use horses more often in the show?
I didn't see any carriage. Bill just kind of shows up in front of Leary.
Boom, and he's like, he beats him there, right?
You know, it's one of those things that you just...
Yeah.
Go with the flow, man.
It's interesting, though. I didn't really think about it until you said that. I'm like, oh, yeah, he was at the bar. He saw the dead bodies. And he went, oh, I know exactly where to go. Strickland's house.
Yeah. Well, he just blew up Strickland's bridge.
Go ahead, V.
No. It's a fucking Kadish being all nitpicky again.
No, you're not wrong, though. Because, like, okay, so Bill knows that Leary blew up the bridge. And that was Strickland's bridge. Mm-hmm. And then Strickland sends guys.
And he made that big fuss in the middle of White Guy Luncheon.
Right, yeah. And Bill, obviously, he's the chief. Mm-hmm. He's like, okay, two and two together.
Yeah.
These are the guys that Strickland sent to even the odds with Leary.
Yeah.
And now Leary's going to go to Strickland's. He connected the dots.
It wasn't hard because they were like, well, who's got a big enough dick that all these guys would want to work for him?
Right.
Strickland.
Yeah. And so, like, when Bill stops Leary, like, he's about to get into it with Leary because he's like, you wanted me to be police chief. Mm-hmm. And then Leary's like, what in the world could that be? and they see all of Strickland's security is, like, dead. And they're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And so they go inside. And for the first time, Bill sees Otoy. And, mm-hmm. and now he knows who the actual sword killer is.
The San Francisco Dicer or whatever we call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that was an interesting reveal because you could see it on Bill's face. Like, as soon as he saw her, he was like, oh.
He was like, you?
That's the lady that's been chopping people up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just a girl.
But yeah. Those women can't do that. Those lesbians.
And it's so funny, like when Davenport opens fire on them so that they can escape, you just hear Bill go like, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm the chief of police. My knights aren't supposed to be going like this.
Yeah.
I know I'm backstepping a little bit, but like just the fight between Otoy and Strickland, I had so much fun watching it, but at the same time, I'm like, I expected more out of Strickland for some reason. Because him versus Lai, I was like, oh, yeah. He's going
to
be.
Well, that goes to show you how much better Otoy is than
and
Lai.
She's not 100%.
She's going in with no nonsense. She's like, you're going to die tonight. And
a very painful and brutal.
Kind of wanted a toy backstory. like a full.
Oh, like back in China backstory?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Like her learning how to be.
Oh, Ranishi style. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to you to make you such a savage?
Mm-hmm. She got kidnapped by a sword fighting monastery when she was a young child.
That's possible.
And raised in.
Because Lai came from the same place, right?
Lady, mm-hmm. Probably,
yeah.
I don't know. Something about her village being raised in a bunch of.
Okay,
you know,
pine.
Sword fighters. Can we get Olivia? To do a prequel? Can we get Olivia to do a prequel?
I don't know. Why did you ask Vader?
They could probably wrap it up like a 20-minute flashback.
Yeah,
like
20 minutes?
Like they did with Lion and Awesome.
Maybe. That's right. That we did have a flashback with Awesome, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I forgot about that, too.
There's a lot of old men in China.
So much happening.
Going and finding children to teach their kung fu ways.
Let me show you how to massacre people.
Okay. Yeah, but Otoy, she wasn't like Lai. She was basically, I'm going in there, I'm killing them, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't waste any time.
Yeah.
No. We're going to burn the mansion down. That's
making
what
sure
done.
He's dead.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
She sliced him up. She, like, cut his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, and Nellie's like, all right, it's done. She's like, no.
No, she slashed his throat.
Yeah, slashed his throat. Mm-hmm. And then
and he's choking on his blood.
And then she stabbed him on the freaking ground.
And she twisted it.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty gnarly.
No amount of money is going to bring you back from that, man. We'll get there. So Bill and Leary. This pissed me off. I was mad at Bill this episode.
Why?
Because what the fuck, Bill? You're going to go down that rabbit hole already. You're like day two on the chief job and you're like burning bodies at a foundry. Come on.
Well, because you declare yourself on the side of light. If no one taught you how to stay there, you're going back to the dark side.
Well, so like he is loyal to Leary. Like Leary is like the guy who's always been running Bill.
Plus they're both Irish.
Yeah, they're both Irish. But I love that the payoff was the cement, his brother-in-law's cement factory.
Yeah.
Like, that's where they're disposing of the bodies
and
now.
Leary takes his ring.
Yeah. He's like, it's not worth anything to anybody else, but it's worth something to me.
Is that the ring he uses to get into the club or something?
I don't know what that ring is for.
He mentioned that.
He said something about it coming from his mentor or something like that. I'd have to go back and watch that episode where
Strickland
was talking
about it.
Yeah, I
think it's like we're all Freemasons or something.
It was a ring that had no value, though. Like, it wasn't, like, made of, like, anything special. It was just there. But, like, it symbolized something to Strickland.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, Leary now takes that ring and it's, like, symbolic.
Yeah.
Right?
It's, like, the same thing as, like, you walk into a place and you have a handshake. If you can do it, you belong there.
Okay. My problem with this wasn't necessarily the loyalty to Leary that he has. It was Leary's argument. Because he's the chief of police.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, he saw the murder.
Yeah.
He knows if he wanted to try and cover up a toy, he could have been like, a Chinese assassin did this to Strickland.
Sure.
Leary would not have had to have been involved at all. And Leary's like, if they're going to catch this guy, they're going to pin it on me. And I'm like, no, they're not. He saw the person who murdered.
You did just kill five of his men.
It's fine. It's blame it on the Chinese person. Well, it's just like, I just did not understand.
Blame everything on a Chinese person. That's the whole show.
And you can get away with that as far as Bill's concerned.
It's all about politics.
Yeah, I feel like Leary knew that, like, the people that he pissed off politically would be the ones who would, like, put pressure to frame him.
Yeah.
So, like, this was just him covering his butt.
But the, okay, sure, maybe, but just ghosting Strickland completely with no body, no trace, no nothing. And he mentions, hey, like,
this No body, no crime.
He's like, there's going to be a lot of questions about this. And he's like, well, it sounds like something the chief police could handle. And I'm like, he could have handled it before. The logic
it's literally
behind
his
this,
second day on the job.
The logic behind this, behind Leary's argument specifically, was like, what? But that's it. I mean, I was just like, I think they could have gotten away with it. They had the killer. If he wanted to name names, he could have said a toy. If they wanted to just say, I saw a person in a robe, obviously of Chinese descent, kill this guy with a sword, they could have blamed it on them, and Leary would have been in the clear. So,
you know that rich white lady, Nellie? She had a gun?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what's funny is, like, Leary was literally going there to kill the guy.
Yeah.
So, like, he would have been in that situation anyway.
Right. If he had never shown up to kill Strickland, he still would have gotten blamed for it. Bill just would have been like, oh, I got here too late.
He would have had at least he has an alibi right now. Like, Bill can be his alibi. He was with me.
Yeah.
I found him before he got there. I stopped him.
Uh-huh.
We're good. It's these people's fault.
No, I found him at that, I don't know, other bar.
Yeah.
And the Bill can't go tell everybody who did it because then they'll just kill him. He knows this. That's how it rolls.
Oh, man. It's a complicated situation.
It's complicated.
This is why I'm not in the mob. I would probably die.
Yeah.
I'd be too honest. I'd be like, that guy did it.
Okay, snitches get stitches.
Yeah, snitches get stitches. I don't snitch on people. Except for Vader. I'll snitch on him in a heartbeat.
It's nice. Thanks, man. Hey,
bros before hoes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You don't know the code. Apparently.
You don't know the code either, man. Yeah. Where were you on Monday?
Right.
Monday.
We all went to the movies.
And you weren't there.
Oh, I need some alone time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Alone time with all the 70-year-olds.
Oh, my God. Went to the movies. That's a story for behind the scenes. But Jesus.
All right, anyway, what happens next?
So we get to see Buckley with his not a ginger.
Mm-hmm.
And Buckley is so happy because now he's mayor. He's met the woman of his dreams. He proposes. And then we find out that not a ginger is not very nice.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, of course I'll marry you.
Yeah, but
I'm going to take this man for all his money, sucking another dick.
She's a goddamn gold digger.
It's her song, not mine.
She's a goddamn gold digger.
Yeah, it turns out that Buckley's mini-me has been the mastermind behind this arrangement the entire time. And he's been getting his side piece to kind of like swoop in there, wrap Buckley around her little finger, and now they're going to go after his money.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking conniving.
Should have stuck with the ginger prostitute.
Speaking of, nothing.
We have not found any bodies. We cannot confirm nor deny that he was killing those women.
No information whatsoever on the ginger bodies.
However, I haven't seen a single red prostitute since that episode. We need to grow some more.
I think San Francisco is running a little low on gingers. Yeah, I need closure on that storyline if we're going to get a season four.
I wanted her to, like, pull off a brown wig and shake out some red locks. And I'd be like,
What's up,
B? It's my least favorite part of the whole show.
The Buckley thing?
The whole Buckley thing. So I don't like rooting for people I hate.
Right, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Buckley's supposed to be
the big guy.
He's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Right? Of all the shitty people in this show, they're all shitty people. Okay?
Granted.
He's the shittiest.
Right.
And so I can make him the big bad. So when JT makes me root for Buckley, I'm a little bit annoyed about it. All right. It really annoys me because I want Buckley to, like, be drawn and quartered. I want him to, like, be in the middle of Chinatown.
You want him to lose.
I want him to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit. I can't stand him. And this goes into, like, some Days of Our Lives. Level.
No.
You think it totally does.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
Buckley's love of his life.
Too soap opera. It's just political manipulation. for money. There's no kung fu. There's no none of that stuff. You know.
Mm. Oh, okay.
It's too soap opera and not enough.
But what do you think the consequences of that would be?
I don't know.
Who's Buckley going to call on for help?
I don't care.
My Ling.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
My Ling. He's going to be like, listen. If and when he finds out.
I guess if you put it that way, I guess we'll find out maybe if we get season four.
Yeah, maybe if we get season four.
But the way this ended, it's just soap opera. And I'm not super into it. I know this is a drama.
Turns out
soap opera
that was
show.
Her evil twin.
Now that would be like, okay.
But yeah, it's fine. It's just. It just wasn't my kind of story. And I don't like having people that I hate become people that I sympathize and empathize with. Like, can you imagine watching Game of Thrones and all of a sudden Cersei is like somebody you feel bad for?
They did that all the time in that show.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
I never felt sorry.
Tyrion Lannister and Jaime Lannister. Jaime especially. Jaime flip flop back and forth like four times in that show.
I'm talking about Laura, like when that bitch killed
a child.
When that bitch was getting paraded through the city and shit getting thrown at her, shame. I was laughing. It's like she deserves every bit of that.
Sure,
shit.
Yeah. And but then afterwards, like, you're like, I hope she burns the city down.
I never empathized for her. I never felt sympathy for her. I feel sympathy for fucking Buckley.
Because he's getting cheated on.
And it annoys me. And I don't want to feel that way. You know what I mean?
The writers behind the show are just like, yeah.
Maybe. But
feel manipulated.
I mean, if that was the main story of the show, I'd probably be like,
I'm not here for Buckley's love life. Right. I'm here for the fighting and Assam and the tongs. But a Buckley little side thing with Buckley. Yeah, cool. Throw it in there. Mm-hmm. Because I do want to see if and when we get a continuation of the story, when Buckley finds out, I expect to see full-blown Buckley. Like Buckley from season one, Buckley.
You mean, you know what I mean? Go full Buckley?
Never go full Buckley.
Yeah. Never go full Buckley. Yeah.
Like manipulation and backhanded deals and like getting my Ling back in power. I want to see Buckley be like on the revenge. Like if you're going to do this to a character that I don't already like, and you're going to make me sympathize with them, mm-hmm. there better be like a wave of, yes, freaking Buckley's kicking ass. Like, I want to see the payoff to that.
I want his artificial limb to turn out to be like an automatic weapon, like in Planet Terror. And he just like walks into a bar and he's just like.
I'm like, this sounds like some Quentin Tarantino
like Tommy gun.
Robert Rodriguez directs an episode of Warrior.
Yes. I'm here for that. Can we have that?
Hard pass. Hard pass. Oh, poor Buckley. Not a ginger man. Didn't see that coming.
Mm. All right. So after Buckley's little marriage proposal, we've got the Dick Squad coming in hard.
Yep.
No pun intended.
Yes, you did.
That was just a pun intention.
So they walk into Big Bill's office and they're like, okay, the sting is ready to go. Mm-hmm. And Bill lets it drop that Buckley, you know, he has to report this sting to Buckley, but Buckley likes to keep them out of Long Z territory. And that rings Big Dick Lee's alarm bells a little bit, mm-hmm. not quite full blown yet.
His little spidey dick sense.
Yeah. His dick sense starts tingling. And the other guy, what's the other Secret
Mosley.
Service? Mosley. So Mosley's like, to Bill, he's like, I already like you more than Kevin Spacey.
It was not hard to do.
That guy is super unlikable.
Yeah, and so like this leads us to the big Mexican showdown at the Ice Factory, where basically all these different factions are converging. So you have the Happy Isaac gang, mm-hmm. formerly known as Happy Jack gang. You have the Long Z and the Hopway. You have the Dick Squad, backed by the Chinatown squad. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that there's like one more.
Well, Hong and Assam are there and kind of like in the crossfires. Like
they're the Hopway representation.
Yeah. So Assam goes there and basically because Yan Mi is in jail and didn't show up, Hong is there with like this other guy who's been training in the printer, and he's like, hey, this guy's really good. And then as soon as the guy like leaves, he's like, I was just saying that because I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
I love Hong.
Hong's like, you know, he has such aspirations to do so well, and I didn't want to squash that.
Yeah. Hong breaks my heart a little later.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Awesome starts, you know, getting like all the plates and stuff like that, Hong's like, You know, like Yanmi never showed up today. And Awesome's like, I told her not to come in. And he's like, oh my God, did you guys have a fight? Are you okay? Did you break up?
it's just like every couple fights, every couple fights.
Yeah.
Like, I just had a fight with my boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Like Hong is just like totally like not on the same level of like awareness of like what's going on.
And Asam is just like, get out of here.
And then when they try to escape with the plates, that's when we have the big Mexican standoff between all the different factions. And this scene was like so fucking tense.
Yeah. Itchy fingers.
Yeah. I don't know. It played out the way I thought it kind of would.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this makes sense. Everything's kind of converging. Gotcha. Cool. Asam's trying to get out of there with the plates to hand it over to the Dick Squad. He eventually does.
Yeah.
And he gets like blindsided by some random cop somewhere.
Yeah, some bull.
Well, they set that up earlier because Big Dick Lee says, like, take some men, try to find any other way out of this place to cover it. I feel like there was some stuff cut out because the cop that clocked Awesome was also kind of like bloody and beat up. So I'm guessing that there was some stuff with Han that, like, you know, he was fighting with, you know, the bulls that were covering that exit that maybe didn't make it into the final edit of this episode because he did just kind of like come out of nowhere. But it was set up earlier.
Yeah. Because he was like, cover all the exits. You go that way. You go that way. So it makes sense that they were there. But it was a cool scene. Very intense. For a minute, I was actually rooting for the Dick Squad. I'm like, yeah, get those plates, bro. Like, they're right there.
Yeah.
Like, go get them.
We need that to happen for, like, other shit that's been set up
right?
to happen.
Yeah. I'm like, please take the plates.
Well, the cool thing is that there was, so this is the first time we've seen Awesome fight in, like, three episodes. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he took, like, a three-episode break.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even much of a fight. He was just kind of, like, hiding behind, like, you know, a piece of ice.
He was trying to get out of there.
Yeah, and he, like, jump kicks Happy Isaac, and, you know, that's pretty much the bulk of the fight. But it's kind of funny because I can see what the writers were doing. Like, they were purposefully keeping us from seeing Awesome being awesome until the point where we get to, like, the big fight scene of this episode. We're not quite there yet, but... that just made it so much more impactful for me.
Yeah, they're saving it. The giant fight between three different gangs in the middle of Chinatown is not the...
It's not the one that we care about.
Nope.
It was funny because I'm watching...
There is more to come.
I'm thinking about, you know, we're talking about this scene, and I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. But we got more important stuff to talk about. But this is, like, literally the pinnacle of every setup storyline in this show.
This is the resolution of the counterfeit money storyline.
Yeah,
the major through line for this entire season happens.
The whole time I'm going, where's Lee Young?
Right?
Who the fuck is Lee Young? God, I missed that guy in this episode.
we've been saying, where's for a couple of them?
Asam gets clocked on the side of the head. The plates get taken by the Dick Squad, which is yay.
On to the next thing now.
On to the next thing.
Well, Big Dick Lee gets the plates, Awesome delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Big Dick Lee kind of like gives Awesome what the deal was.
Mm. Yeah, he releases Yanmi.
Yep.
And like, it wouldn't be Big Dick if he didn't feel bad about something in the middle of doing something good. And he's like, I don't know, what is life anyway? And Mosley's like, you can go.
Well, he's worried about Yanmi's safety after he lets her go and he fulfills his end of the bargain.
Yeah. I just released her, but she's got a target on her back. There's 50 people out there that want to kill her now. So I've just released her to her death.
But maybe he held up his end of the bargain.
Yeah, I mean,
good luck.
Yeah, bye.
and then Mosley says, you know, like, I'm going to, you know, keep up my end of the bargain and get rid of like your murder charge. But would you want to come down and, you know, continue being a dick with me?
Yeah.
And and Big Dick Lee's just like, nah, I'm good. I'm good, bro.
Didn't he say like when he gets back to Washington?
Yeah.
Or no, wherever he said the home office in San Francisco.
No, it's in LA.
In LA.
Yeah.
Well, he's like,
you want to go to LA? And he's like, not on your life. And that's what most actors say somebody asks, do you want to go to LA? And they're like, no.
Yeah.
But
where in LA?
What part of LA?
Maybe. Well, that's like when people said you want to go to Vegas. Where
are we staying? Off strip?
Santa Monica? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, Dick, you know, Big Dick Lee's like, I don't want to do this, which I'm kind of disappointed. I thought what I would have liked to have seen, and it is what it is, it doesn't really matter, but like, I would have loved it if they were like, hey, we would like to have a permanent Secret Service member here in San Francisco.
They don't need a counterfeit operation anymore. They get the plates.
Not counterfeit, but like just a Secret Service member who's in charge of like these Tong Wars. Like if this guy comes in here, he's like, you know, this...
Secret Service doesn't deal with gang wars.
I don't know. The government might want to be involved in this stuff. If it's getting bad enough.
If it's not going to be counterfeiting, I have to come up with a new nickname for him.
Oh, that's true. That's what they do. You're creative enough. I think you can do it.
How can I make the cunt squad happen?
I'm just saying.
Australians.
I would have liked to have seen Big Dick Lee move forward in the story with the authority of the U.S. government.
I actually think it's better the way that they set this up, which we'll get to when we start wrapping things up. But basically, the whole counterfeit money operation storyline came to a head. And while the whole exchange was going on, it was intercut with Mai Ling meeting with Buckley. Mm-hmm. And Buckley was like, hey, you know, if you had cut me in on this, I could have protected you.
Yeah.
But now I called you here specifically to make sure you weren't caught up in this thing.
He's doing her a favor and he's teaching her a lesson.
Yeah.
He's like, it would have cost you to loop me in, but I bet it wouldn't have cost you as much as you're losing today.
Yeah.
And it's a hard lesson. We got to remember that Mai Ling is a solo operator right now because her right-hand man, Li Yong, is no longer in the picture.
Yeah.
Her husband.
And so, like, she
And, like, how much control does she have with that?
Yeah, she's very vulnerable.
How fast can you do an annulment? Because I'm pretty sure they annulled that marriage real quick.
Consider this a divorce.
Kill my best friend.
Killed the Iron Chef, man. Yeah. Chairman.
She made him do it.
Yeah.
Dark.
So, basically, after this exchange, Awesome gets knocked out. And Hong brings him back to Hopway headquarters to recuperate. But he was supposed to go and meet Mai Ling, or not Mai Ling, Mi Yong.
Yan Mi.
Yeah, sorry.
Printer girl.
and so, like, once Yan Mi gets released from jail, she goes to her father. She's like, we need to get out of here. And the dad's like, I'm not going anywhere.
Dude, can we talk about this scene for just a second? Yeah. Like, I want to dwell on this a minute. This was kind of fucked up. This dude is like, you're no longer my daughter.
Yeah, I abjure you.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I don't know,
man. It made perfect sense to me.
I didn't know if it was like a cultural thing or not. I'm just
absolutely a cultural
thing. I'm just like, Jesus, fuck, bro. She's your daughter.
Also, like, she became a criminal in his eyes.
And
she was like the biggest shame that she could have brought to the family.
Not his piece of shit son. That guy's a freak. Remember him? Yeah, the guy, like, he went out and beat up a bunch of Irishmen for no reason. Then Assam had to, like, beat him up and tell him to keep his shit in line.
That was him?
That's him. This is all the same guy.
Okay.
It's just, it's the printer girl's annoying little brother.
He's just a young punk. She brought the mob into the house.
Yeah, she made a lot of money.
Well,
she did. But then the dick squad took it.
Didn't the mob kind of invite themselves in?
A little bit, yeah.
You don't turn your back on the dick.
I mean, let's be real about that, because the mom...
Did they have a choice?
She didn't really have much choice in the whole thing.
Yeah. Her father's being a dick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I didn't like him in this scene. I felt really
bad. But, you know, when
him.
Your children fall to the wayside for poor choices, you gotta cut them loose. I can relate a little bit.
That's a little dark. That's a little dark.
Yeah.
You know, my family's been through the same thing. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're like, you know what? Like,
you got some... You got to go think
you
about some
fix
things.
Your shit and then go come
fix,
back.
Fix your shit for a few years. We'll see you later.
Yeah. After Yan Mi gets disowned by her father and kicked out, she goes to meet Assam at the train station like they had agreed upon. Mm-hmm. And because Assam is waylaid, he never shows up.
But
like, who does show up?
The saddest part about that was that it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because he was totally out.
So
yeah.
Do we talk about what kept Assam from getting there, or do
we
talk
about...
Well,
he got hit by
that hammer. Well, he got knocked the fuck out.
Well, let's finish up Yan Mi's story before we get back to Assam. Okay.
So Assam does not meet her at the train station, and but Chow does.
Yeah, Chow's there with his duffel bag, looking at his clock, going like, oh God, I gotta get out of here.
He's like, this motherfucker said he would be on time. I know, right? I told him, don't be late. I really want to double cross him. It's not my fault. This is who I am. God damn it. And then he leaves with the bag.
Yep.
We think he's just going to bounce with the money.
He goes to the train station.
But he meets Yan Mi and he gives her the money.
And he gives her some advice too, right? Mm-hmm. He says something about, I can't remember exactly what he says.
Yeah, well, she doesn't want to leave because she wants to go find him. And Chow's like, if you don't get on that train, you're dead.
Yeah.
Basically, Chow's like, I've been exactly where you are right now. And his advice is basically get on that train. Forget all this stuff. Forget Awesome. and just start over. Mm-hmm. He's like, do not look back.
Yeah.
You know, you have a choice here. And it's like, you can either go and get deeper into this, or you can leave and start anew.
Yeah.
And so she takes his advice, which is good advice for a change, and gets on that train. And as the train is leaving, Chao's watching her go, and he's very happy.
You see a figure in the shadows, in the background. I was like,
I'm like sitting here almost too quiet. Anytime they have a camera and it's on Chao and it's just like hanging out, and I'm like, you're too low. Nope. There's not a cut. It's got a cut. If it doesn't cut, he's dead.
Something's happening.
Fuck. This dude in a trench coat and a hat.
Like, just starts. Excuse me.
Prison shaking.
Yeah, prison shaking.
He's like, how you been, old friend? Go.
And then Chao. Oh my God, dude.
And it turns out.
Zing
is back.
The funnest guy has returned.
All season we've been like, where's Zing?
Yeah, they
did
forget
he
about that? Yeah.
Well, when was the last time we saw it? It was the finale of season two.
They set up that he was escaping from prison and they never talked about it again.
Not a single thing.
He's looking good.
He's looking good.
He's got
a haircut.
Fresh haircut. Yep. Suit.
Got those dumbass hat. Those dumbass face tattoos.
Well, I can't get rid of those.
Yeah, but so like the return of the funnest guy, Zing. Prison shanking Chao, leaving him on that train platform to die.
Oh, so stressful.
And
not dead.
Not dead.
Not dead yet. So like
mostly dead.
Mostly dead. Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So there's
a flesh wound.
There's a chance Chao can survive and come back and stuff like that. And I really hope that that's the case. I hope that Hoon Lee isn't leaving for another show or something like that.
Chao's like to blame. No,
nobody important actually died in this episode.
You were playing cards, and he cheated on you. He owes you money.
Yeah, he double-crossed you with some counterfeit money. But it turns out that, we found out that the actor who plays Zing is actually a director for the series. So, like, he's directed a couple episodes of the show. Yeah. So he wasn't
he was
going
there
anywhere.
All along.
Yeah, he was there all along.
In the background.
You only had to believe.
Yeah, it was.
But when Zing reappeared, I got out of my seat. I was like, "Yes,
dude!
Yes,
my
what a
jaw
great reveal!"
Hit the floor. I was like, "Holy shit!"
I had
shit.
A sore throat after I watched this. Screaming so much.
That was a moment, man. I did not see it.
I just kind of sat there in silence. And I went, "Wow, that just happened."
Yeah,
it's like, what?
Holy shit.
Crap! That's
one of those reveals that's so satisfying.
Yeah.
That like when a show pulls that off, you're just like, oh my God, that was so good.
Because you go through this thing, you know, Chao. To me, Chao is like C-3PO and R2-D2.
Just the storyteller.
He's the storyteller of all this. To me, he's the narrator of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So he's untouchable. He can't die. He's just kind of like in everything.
Because he's in with everybody.
Right.
He knows all the stories.
So when they like are teasing that he's done, I'm kind of freaking out internally a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah. Especially if you see him as the storyteller.
But, you know, R2 got blasted a couple times.
So.
It's weird.
What was that?
I said R2 got blasted a couple times. And C-3PO has had his memory wiped.
Yeah. A New Hope.
So, you know, I guess we'll go through it. We'll be okay.
It's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, I kind of.
It's not inaccurate.
I just came up with it.
It's good.
Yeah, he's the narrator of the show.
You're not wrong. Because
he touches everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
he needs a sidekick then.
Man, that would be kind of funny.
He needs a little short, stubby sidekick.
Yeah,
and
maybe like a kid. Yeah,
a little short round,
like a little lone wolf and cub thing going on with Chao. That'd be funny.
Well, Chao, I mean, if he recovers from these injuries, he's going to need some help.
Chao does have a kid.
He does have his little daughter. But he doesn't.
She's gone.
He doesn't know where she is.
She's off in Duckland with the rich white people.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't think they would have the stones to pull something like this off. Mm. It's good. It's a really good way to end this, but I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
You guys were right. And it could go either way. So like if season four happens and Chao's not there, it's like, oh, he died.
Yeah,
or he survived somehow, and they're bringing him back, and him and Zing are going to have like a really great storyline going forward.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But this brings us to what is the culmination of three seasons of buildup.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Which is basically Awesome wakes back up. He finds out that he's been out for like 3 to 6 hours, I think, and he notices that the Hopway are getting ready to go after Mai Ling.
Yeah, they're all getting. Armored up.
Yeah.
Suited and hatcheted up.
Yep. Yeah.
And so he goes to Young Jun, and Young Jun basically forces him to make a decision. He's like, you're either with us or you're with my Ling.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you kill her.
I'm upset right
But I
now.
Do want you to stand aside while I kill her. And Asam's like, ugh, give me those fucking nunchucks.
Fuck, you can see it too. And he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, and so.
Because he want, like, all this season, he's been talking about taking down my Ling. I'm going to get revenge on my Ling. She almost killed me, yada, yada, yada. But it's all just flapping his lips.
When push comes to shove, young June's instincts were right. Awesome chooses his sister over his surrogate brother.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, young June orders his men to kill Awesome, and Awesome kills all of them. But we get a fight between Hong and Awesome.
The three best friends.
The three best friends. Yep. And young June and Awesome finally throw down.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, was this an amazing fight.
Incredible. Go ahead.
So it took Hong and young June
to take down us. Well, not even
take they down didn't. Us. They lost. They didn't win.
And he fought like 20 dudes before it, too.
And Awesome had already gone through the whole Hong.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he had already gotten his ass kicked
by the cop.
Yeah. He's concussed for sure.
Hong and Young Jun couldn't take down an Awesome who was operating at maybe 25%.
That's pretty crazy. Maybe, right? That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with these two, it's like, I'm upset with Young Jun. Fuck that guy.
Why?
Because, like, you know when I used to be, like, really I was upset with Buckley for making me, like, have empathy for him and kind of like the guy?
Because it's Buckley's
fault. But now...
Are you rooting for Young June?
Now I'm upset because I kind of liked Young June, and now I have to hate him.
You can root against Asam. It's okay.
No, I don't want to because I like Asam. But it's like, the way they twist and turn and... Now I have to root against Hong and Young June now.
That's the tough one.
And stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
Being mad at Hong?
Yeah.
Because like, Hong.
And he's kind of a stupid little simp boy. Right? It's like, okay, boss. You know,
that's his life.
I know. It's so annoying.
Think about it from Hong's perspective. And we're going to go down a Hong little rabbit hole right now.
Yeah,
like, he gets off the boat and he immediately joins the Tong. Like, he was sent there to join the Tong.
He's so excited to have friends.
Well, he's so excited to get out of China because China was so restrictive.
I thought Hong got sent over by the Chinese.
For Father June.
For Father June.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah.
So he's like, I'm finally in America.
Shouldn't he be more loyal to whoever's really in charge over in China?
No, he's loyal to the Tong, which is Young June. And
he's got that to brand. A fault.
Like,
well, also, what makes this fight so poignant is the fact that, like, we care about all these characters. We come to identify them over the course of three seasons.
We've watched them become brothers.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys something? I've not been a fan of Hong's little side story this season. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
It was a little boy toy thing at Moulin Rouge. Like, whatever. Means nothing. Do you think if they didn't have that in there, that this fight would be less gut-wrenching? Because if Hong hadn't had, like, a handful of scenes where we kind of get to know him a little bit, and then we see him fight Asam, do you think it would have been less poignant?
I think we needed to get to know him a little bit more. I don't think it matters necessarily that he had, like, a love story or how we got to know him. I think we needed... to get to know him a little bit more. But I think what's really important here is that he fell in love and that has been destroyed. So now all he has
is the Tong.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, and he obviously looks up to Awesome and cares about the guy and doesn't want to fight him. But when push comes to shove, he's like, I got to fight him.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about this fight is that, so like you care about all the major three combatants involved. And you're like, oh my God, you know, someone's going to win, right? But the interesting thing is that Awesome isn't fighting to kill.
Yeah.
He's just fighting to disable. Mm. But like the other two are fighting to kill.
Yeah.
And they all have different fighting styles. And we see like how like they clash because basically Young Jun has the knives. Hong has like the whip.
Mm-hmm.
And Awesome just has his fist. Like he actually throws the nunchucks away and just takes them on like mano a mano.
Yeah.
And it's got so much emotion kind of attached to this fight and the outcome of the fight. And Awesome does not just run away with this fight. Like, he gets messed up big time.
Oh, yeah. Young June, I think, punctures his lung at one
there's
point.
There's a scene where, like, they're fighting and then Young June gets knocked down and then the camera, like, pans away and Awesome's just sitting there like, holy shit, I'm freaking tired. And then as it pans away, you see the freaking knife stuck in the side and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I was... Yeah. Like,
but that means June still has a knife.
Yeah.
We're knocking that 25% down to 15%.
Oh, he's almost dead.
Yeah.
The
power meter is going way down.
Yeah. But by that point, he had taken Hong out of the equation. So it was just him and Young June.
Yeah, it was. Quick.
Go ahead.
Was it surprising how easy Hong
went Hong out? Is a good fighter against drunk Irishmen. He's not a good fighter against Assam. But I love that, like, he's using his chain, right? He's whipping his chain around, and Assam just catches
grabs it.
And he's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, like, as soon as he was able to kind of disarm Hong and basically fight him fist to fist, like, Hong was at a disadvantage.
Just the one-inch punch he did on him.
Oh, yeah.
How dope was that? He catches him, and they make eye contact, and he looks down, and he just goes, and he goes flying across the fucking room.
That was some Pai Mei shit.
Oh, shit.
Yo, that's some Bruce Lee shit right there.
Yeah, that's Bruce Lee.
Damn.
Pai Mei wishes he was Bruce Lee. No, that was dope. That was cool as shit.
So basically what happens is Awesome defeats Young Jun, but instead of killing him, because Young Jun pulls a Father Jun, he's like, you better kill me now.
Mm-hmm.
He just knocks him out.
Yeah.
And then as wounded as he is, Awesome realizes that Mai Ling is still in danger. Yeah. And so like he starts trying to make his way there to
territory. All of the Hopway. Yeah. I'm gonna run.
So while they were distracting Awesome, the other part of the Hopway went to assassinate Mai Ling.
Mm-hmm.
And Mai Ling finds out that the few guards that were still loyal to her have been taken out by the Hopway. Mm-hmm. And so now we're in a situation where she has no protection. It's just her. So she grabs a gun and she takes on the remaining attackers.
I'm frustrated with her because she is so incapable of protecting herself. Like,
wanted her to have multiple guns.
Right?
Like, wanted her to have the wrist gun that she got from Chow.
Yeah.
And just, like, because she has to have some defenses. She can't just be like, oh, my husband's got this.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's what
she's
going
to have to be able to defend herself.
Yeah.
And she does okay with one gun, but I wanted her to be, like, more. Like, I wanted her to be like, I can't fight, but I sure as shit can shoot, and I've got all these guns.
But, yeah. But you know, the thing about that is that because she was at such a disadvantage, the entire scene, I was like,
oh
my God, she's going to die.
I thought for
sure. They're going to kill her off.
Yeah.
I thought for sure that she was going to die. So skipping forward a little bit, she takes on four or five Hopway. And then
she takes out six guys with her gun. And then
one guy
she
grabs
has an actual fight with.
She has a fight to the death. And like she's getting drowned in this like little pond mm-hmm. that she has in her house.
Her little koi pond.
And she's being drowned in. And then the scene cuts and you go back to Assam.
Well, before it cuts, though, we see her pull a knife out of her boot.
Yeah. And I genuinely, I was like, oh, I don't know if she made it or not.
I feel like
right.
I need to start sleeping with boots on now.
At this point, I just was like, I wouldn't have been surprised if they killed her or anybody in this show at this point.
When they cut to Assam running and then they cut back when he runs into her house and he sees her laying down.
Yeah.
And she looks like she's dead.
Yeah.
I was like,
damn, how big is Chinatown? Because he's been running for a while.
Holy shit, they just killed my leg.
He's been running with 12 gaping open wounds. So it makes sense it took him a while to get there.
Chinatown isn't that big.
Not that big.
It's not.
A couple blocks. But I was
a lot of hills.
I was genuinely convinced that they killed her off. Yeah. When they pan that camera angle over to her and she's just laying there, eyes open, not breathing, I was like, oh my God, they freaking killed her. and then she starts to twitch and move, and then Assam goes and picks her up, and I'm like,
that.
And she's not sure if he has also come to kill her or if that's like my brother.
Yeah.
Then they embrace.
And then
we have that long pan out shot.
And it's
oh man, season four.
It's fucking
the revenge.
Family versus the world. Yeah, that's what I saw.
Yeah. So what's great here is that over the course of three seasons, because Awesome, when he came to America, his goal was to reunite with his sister and protect her. And so three seasons later, this is the culmination of that storyline where the siblings are back together. The whole world is against them. They're the only ones that they have.
Yep.
And so if we go to a season four, it's going to be Awesome and Mai Ling versus the world.
Yeah.
And it's going to be epic.
I'm freaking here for it.
And her husband.
Her husband's not in the picture anymore.
We're going to get to him.
Not in her picture anymore. I misspoke. He's definitely in the picture.
He's got a new jacket to wear.
Let's just talk about it since we're already talking about it now. But so the scene ends, credits roll, we get the freaking dope ass, music that always plays at the end of every episode. They do a different rap song at the end credits for I don't know.
Every week's a different rap song,
which is awesome. I love it. I want the playlist. And then we cut to a bunch of the hop, not hopway, well, the Long Z.
Yeah, so basically, Li Yong is at a medicine man shop, and he's having, like, his wounds treated from, like, the fight that he had.
With the Iron Chef.
With the Iron Chef.
I mean, just, I'm sorry, just but to set this up, the entire episode.
He's missing.
We're going, where the fuck is Long Z at?
Li Yong,
I mean. Let me do that again. This entire episode, we're wondering, where the fuck is Long
Li Yong?
This entire episode, we're wondering where in the fuck Li Yong is. It's just insane to me. I'm like, where is he? Dude, what's going on?
I fully expected to see him kicking ass when Mai Ling was up against the ropes.
Yeah.
But the fact that
I thought for sure he was going to come in and save her.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of pleased.
I'm very.
At how this ended up because, you know, last episode, I'm like, he's just the world's biggest.
He left her.
He's straight up left her, dude. He's the worst dude because he just thought about the girl. You know, it's just like, come on, man. Throw some stones.
I didn't want it.
Yeah. He didn't come back.
Very pleased with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see him getting his wounds treated at a medicine shop when the remaining Long Z soldiers come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like for a minute they're going to fight. And then all the Long Z's take their coats off and say, like, hey, we're with you now.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, this fucking guy, he's been in every episode.
He's died 100 times.
He's died like three times.
Really?
Yeah. Assam has kicked the living shit out of this guy at least 4 times this season.
Yeah, yeah.
And he shows up all the time. I guarantee you he's one of the top tier stunt guys.
Mean, does Li Yong even want him in the top?
He probably works his ass off for the show itself. Yeah. But every time I see him, I'm like, I've seen you die. Like, I've seen a hatchet go through your neck least twice.
In one episode, he has, like, face tattoos.
Right?
In the next episode, he's got his coat on.
So Li Yong basically leads, takes over the remainder of the Long Z.
Yeah.
And I think they're going
to They're no longer the Long Z. Now they're going to be the Li Yongs.
The Li Yongs. And as he's walking them down Chinatown, we get the music cue from the first season where basically... the final episode of the season finale of season one, we saw Awesome leading the
Hopway
down the street, owning Chinatown. And it was a Chinese version of the Reservoir Dogs song.
Oh,
right?
where
it kind of shows like the team kind of like going to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they did this again, but this time instead of Awesome leading the gang, it's...
Li Yong. Yeah.
So it was a cool little music cue to kind of tie everything together, just like the Big Lebowski's rug just ties them in together. So and that's how this episode ends. And they've set the stage for a season four so well with like every single character, every single storyline. When this episode ended, I was so satisfied. I was like, finally, a good ending to a great show, and I'm looking forward to like more of it.
Right.
I want more of it right now. It's very rare to find that
on
TV.
We don't get that anymore.
Not very often. Especially not
and
in
when,
this.
And when they do try to do it, they do a really poor job of it.
Yeah.
So it's very satisfying. This whole season was satisfying.
Yeah.
I mean, is that very satisfying?
I know we always make the comparison to Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well,
for the show.
It's very Game of Thrones-y.
It's, yeah, like...
It's even got red weddings and stuff in it.
Early seasons of Game of Thrones made me feel the same way that this show feels when I'm like, holy shit, what's going to happen next? I want to know what happens to this character and this faction and this person's doing this over here and that's going to interact with this and Buckley's being betrayed and he's going to go on the rampage. Like, there's so much happening in this show that I want to see continued. I haven't felt like this after watching a show since like season 3 of Game of Thrones or whatever they killed Ned Stark, that I was like, what the fuck? Like, this show, not that it's like exactly like Game of Thrones, because the storyline is obviously very different, there's all that stuff, but like the way it makes me feel when I'm watching it, I'm like, hell, finally we have a show that's like doing the same type of thing. So I'm all here for it, man. This was a fantastic ending. I had my jaw was on the floor multiple times. God, I hope freaking Chow survives. It's nuts, man. Well done. Well done across the board.
We've been waiting for Awesome and Mai Ling to get together for...
Yeah, for two episodes or two seasons
30
now.
Episodes. Yeah. Now. So I'm interested to see how that goes down.
And the showdown between Young Jun. Like, we've seen... How far have we seen Young Jun come since season one?
Yeah.
Holy crap. He started off as just like a normal.
Well, that's why I'm upset that I'm going to have to root against him now.
Do you have to, though?
Well, you kind of do.
Kind of. Bros before hoes.
You know.
Come on, man. Assam put bros.
It's his sister.
Oh, that makes a difference.
It does.
It's family.
It makes a huge difference. If she was just some.
She tried to kill him.
If she was just some, like,
blood versus bros.
If she was just some, like, piece with a really, you know, she was like a really nice piece of ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be different. Like, yeah,
okay. No, it's no, a sister.
It's a sister.
Yeah. Got to protect the sister.
For sure.
That's, yeah, that's wild, man. That's because I don't like what they. Okay, so Assam no longer has the Hopway and Mai Ling no longer has the Long Z. They are literally on their own. Who do they have? Buckley?
They have the fun guys.
They betrayed the fun guys.
No, I'm just joking.
I mean, you gotta remember, though, I mean, Awesome has that giant mural in town. He can just go, hey, I need some dudes. Maybe he can.
You think so?
Maybe some people.
Well, no, he becomes Batman now. He's basically Batman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He becomes the lone wolf. Just chaos ensued. Just
it'll be
freaking throwing wrenches
in people's
plans.
I don't know how they're gonna give them some actual power because, I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting.
Crazy.
Because, you know.
This was so much fun. Mm-hmm. I had a blast this season.
I'm so sad it's over.
I know, me too. Yeah.
I need to, we need to thank those guys for hooking us up.
Go for it.
Thanks, Jonathan Dropper and Max and those people over there for giving us the ability to see these before everybody else with the screeners and be able to drop these reviews day of. It's important. It's a big thing. You know, it kind of sets us apart from a lot of people. And I greatly appreciate that. And I think we're developing some really cool relationships with the people on the show, just very similar to how we did with C.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
some of them are the same people, but
some of them are the same people. And that helps.
It's Team Dropper.
Definitely helps.
This, Team Dropper. Yeah.
It's like I made a comment earlier today on social media. This is a special show for us. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I'm so glad that you decided that you pushed us to watch this show. You said, you know, 2 years ago, we really should watch Warrior. It's a really good show, guys. And we're like, yeah, we did it.
You were a little bit of a bitch about it.
A little bit of a bitch about it. That's a little bit cunty about it. And I don't lie, but I really like this show. It's like one of my top five shows I've ever watched on TV ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's just really good. I'm not gushing. I am gushing, but I'm not. I'm being genuine. This is a really good show.
Yeah,
and it stands out in this day and age of really subpar entertainment content. Because there's a lot of shit out there.
Oh, yeah. They fill the streaming services with nonsense.
This is such a cream of the crop. It could survive in any
super
any era of HBO this thing could go against.
Yeah, so. It really needs more attention. And we should also give a special shout out to Joe Taslim, who's been kind of championing us behind the scenes over in the Warrior camp.
He makes us feel like we're the official podcast.
His cat really likes our show.
Yeah, you want to explain that one?
So Joe, who has 1.4 million followers on Instagram.
He plays Leon on the show.
Leon on the show.
Leon, who, what, but
Leon. He's apparently a fan of our show, so thank you, Joe, so much. But he posted on Instagram. But yeah, he took a video of him sitting in his living room with my freaking ugly face on his giant TV. And his cat was like pawing at it. And he's like, I love this podcast. And so does my cat. And I'm like, dude.
That's a nice TV.
It's really nice house. It looks great. But I DM'd him after that because he tagged me in it. I DM'd him. I'm like, bro, I'm supposed to watch you on TV. You're not supposed to watch me. I belong on a 6-inch iPhone screen. Like, that's it. Like, don't. What are you doing here? This is nuts.
But it's, I'm hideous.
But it's super cool. And, we love the guys that work on this show, guys and girls, all the Team Dropper, as I call them, that create the show for us.
I think it's a real shame that, like, the actors' strikes and stuff like that happened as the show was playing because, they really should be out there, like, promoting the shit out of the show because it's that good. Like, more people need to be, like, everyone who starts watching this show. They're like, oh my God, it's so good. Like, I see it on Twitter all the time.
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I just started watching Warrior, and oh my God, it's so good. And yes.
We have fans of our show from before we started reviewing this going like, oh, you guys finally convinced me to watch Warrior, and it's freaking amazing. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I know.
And now how many fan pages for Warrior on Instagram? And I'm like, I'm so glad there are now, like, actual, like, fan pages for this show because it needs it. Yep. It deserves it.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody's out there, you know, talking about crappy Star Wars movies. And
who gives a shit?
No, give a shit.
Fake Andrew Koji slid into my DMs the other day.
Get out.
I swear.
Are you sure he was fake?
Yeah, I'm sure. Because at first, it like, it got me and it was like, oh, Andrew Koji wants to send you a message. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I was like, oh, that's great. And it was like, hi, dear. Thank you for support. It wasn't even like proper English. And I was like, he's British, motherfucker. And then I looked at the name and there was like a hyphen in it where not in his actual
Instagram. Verified.
And there was no blue check mark. And I was like, oh, fuck you, man.
Yeah. Koji's verified on Instagram for sure. But he reached out to us. Maybe I should.
Hey, you know,
why it got me. Cause I was like, oh my God, that's so nice. And then I was like, oh, fuck you.
Oh.
But I've had a blast. This was a great season. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we're reviewing the show. I hope we get more seasons of it. And I hope the strike works out. I hope the actors get what they want. I hope the writers get what they want so that we can get these guys back to work and get some more content. Because I don't want to wait 3 freaking years. You know, this show, it's like the show itself is just as much of an underdog as some of the characters in it.
Yeah.
Because season 1, it was kind of on Cinemax. Nobody really knew about it. Season 2 had to go through like, COVID was like at the very end of season 2.
Well, you know, it's had some hurdles to jump through.
I don't feel like this show has a huge turnaround from filming to being shown to us.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike a lot of these other shows, you know, it's like a couple of years. I think this show
there's not a lot of special effects, like visual effects in the show in terms of like computer generation.
Because I feel like we were told, you know, we learned about season 3 before they announced it, and it felt like it was a really quick, it's like, hey, we're doing this. And then next thing you know, like 6 months later, that's on TV. And I'm like, damn, that was fast.
Yeah. So I hope we get season 4 soon. That'd be great. But thank you all so much for the support. And thank you for, if you're on the cast and crew, thank you for watching our stuff and commenting. You guys are great. Keep up the good work. And Joe also said to me, don't ever sugarcoat anything.
We don't.
I told him, like, we pride ourselves on not sugarcoating anything.
Unless Vader has had all of the alcohol. And then he's like, that's my best friend. This whole show's my best friend. It's my best friend.
Because he's like, you know, it helps us to learn and to be better and to keep us on our toes. And I'm like, trust me, dude. If there's some bullshit happening, we will talk about it.
Y'all got any satellite dishes?
As I said, there's no satellite dishes used for doors in this thing. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, like one thing we pride ourselves on is just honesty. Like, even if we have, like, connections to, like a show or a production, like we don't shy away from being honest.
We bust each other's balls and we love each other. So of course we're going to bust yours.
Like Tropper will bust our balls back and we're like, yeah, okay.
He's so
I do want to know, like you said earlier though, what kind of wormhole teleportation technology Bill uses to get around town.
Fast travel is a problem.
When you get the chief badge, you get a wormhole.
Why don't people use more horses? If he would have rode up on a horse, I would have been like, oh, of course.
He flew on his dragon.
They're like, don't make us do horse stunts, please, God.
Oh, yeah. Horses are notoriously hard to work with.
Yeah, a guy without a face, they're like, I recognize that guy. He used to work on the force. It's like, God damn it, you're right.
All right, folks. All right. That's it. Final thoughts on this season, V.
Good stuff, man. Good shit. Can't wait till season 4.
Cool.
2 thumbs up.
Right on. Yay. 2 thumbs up. From you, that's a lot, because you're pretty nitpicky about your stuff.
More boobs.
You want more Cinemax?
There was a lack of boobs this year.
Yeah.
For sure.
We got not a ginger. She's covered up, but
I don't want to see no brunette.
It was not Skinemax level of
More Larissa.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I need more Skinemax.
Larissa Jordan, right? Larissa Jordan is the German prostitute.
The tattooed German.
Bring her back.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I want
her to have her own gang.
the German gang. I'd love to see like Young Jun import her in next season.
Oh, has she had that kissing for
so? Oh, because he's in love with her?
Yes.
Lady June. Yeah.
Yeah. All the guys are like
Frau June. Frau June.
Oh. Yeah. And they still can't talk to each other because she speaks German.
And she's just like, give a shit.
She just beats the shit out of him every night.
Every Hotway member, she just beats the shit out of him.
And he just like brushes her hair and he's like, I love you so fucking much.
She's the only one who can beat Awesome in a fight.
Yes!
Defeats him with her vagina.
She just smacks him with her tits.
Death by snoo-snoo.
Oh, shit.
Oh, please give us season 4.
Yeah, Jude, go ahead. Final thoughts on this.
I mean, that's what I wanted to say. I want Larissa back next year.
Yeah.
I want more redheaded prostitutes next year.
Yeah, where the hell did that go? Did he kill them all?
I think
he killed them all.
I definitely, I mean, I really, I just want a season 4. I love this show so much. I'm so glad we got a season three. So thank you, Max, for bringing it back for a third season. Please keep bringing it back for more seasons. This show is so fucking good.
Yeah,
agreed. Kadesh, final thoughts of season?
Yeah, this season, it's like a typical three-act play. So like if you watch all three seasons, like it's so satisfying. I haven't felt this way since I saw like The Wire, because The Wire is a five-season show. And if you watch it from the first episode to the last episode, all through five seasons, you feel like you've digested a complete story. And most shows are just kind of like they fly by the seat of their pants, but it really feels like there's a plan here because like there's so much setup and payoff in these three seasons. And this season was the culmination of a lot of stuff. So far, it sounds like things are looking good for a season four. So hopefully like they do bring it back. And when they do bring it back, I would like to find out what the fuck happened to Penny and Sophie. Because they were completely absent this season.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of my best friend, Dean Jagger, being well, the godfather.
He's the new leader of the whole, like, he's in on the rich side now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Awesome and Mai Ling, the dynamic duo, it's going to be interesting to see, like, how they fare, especially now that the Hopway are against them and the new Long Z are against them. And Zing's back. And
yeah, he's got all the tongs are torn apart.
Yeah. So it's going to be a really interesting thing to situation when the show, if the show does come back for season four. I really hope it does. But I know that according to the trades, Tropper has like a lot of irons in the fire. So like he's got some stuff going on with Apple. He's got some stuff going on with Cinemax and all this other stuff. So hopefully he finds time to actually like keep this one going.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I hope so. This should be his baby, I think. But I don't know. I had a great time this season. I'm super thankful to, like Vader said, we'd like to express our thanks as a podcast for getting access to it early so we can create our reviews and have them drop day of. Yes. That's a big deal for us as content creators. And we appreciate the cast and crew having a thick skin because we make a lot of jokes. We do a lot of weird things and say a lot of weird shit. But
we don't hold back, do we?
We don't hold back. And that's I don't think we ever will. And that's why we'll probably never be invited to a screening ever.
I want my swag bag.
We're not getting swag bags.
I want my goddamn swag bag.
I want a warrior hoodie.
Listen, all you have to send me is the leather vest thing that Young June wears to hold his knives.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the Lee's Dick uniform, and I was like, whoa, I can't have you in the office that would of that.
I'll take that, too.
No, I cannot have too. You in that, in my presence.
This is an cool put on the wall. That's all I want.
No, Jude is powerless against the Dick uniform.
The Dick uniform. Oh, my God, it gets
it's
me.
It's just a black suit, Jude.
It doesn't matter. He's got the thing across it.
With the badge.
Yeah.
I dig it. More Tom Jones. And tell that guy to get on Instagram because I want to send him a DM.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's been really cool. And for all of our followers that joined us for this show or people who have followed us before and they found out about the show and they're
stay
like, thanks.
Tuned for Invasion. Yeah.
Welcome.
We'll be here. The next show on our list is Invasion.
Oh, God.
So if you really want to see us not hold back,
yeah,
that's the place
this
to be.
This is us talking about a show we like.
Yeah.
That's going to be us talking about a show we hate. So, buckle up.
But get
the vodka ready.
But remember,
season
one of C was bonkers. Mm-hmm. Season two got so much better that we were like, wait a minute.
Is that
going to happen again?
I think you're too hopeful.
Yeah, season two of C had Tropper going for it.
This one doesn't have Tropper.
It's the same guy from season one.
Yeah.
Pretty sure ChatGPT wrote that show.
ChatGPT probably would have done a better job. Anyway, stay sticky. Yeah.
Siri, can someone swim in space?
Oh, Jesus. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed the ride. I hope you enjoyed the ride as well. Stay sticky. We'll see you next season.
Stay sticky?
Stay sticky.
Yeah.
Or sicky, whichever you prefer.
Syphilis.
There we go. Paying off. Set up, pay off, we're out. Fade to black.